Here's your forecast from locally grown radio.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. We're joined right now by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
How are you doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing okay. We made it in all right, but it's just not stopping out there, is it?
That's right. Not quite finished up yet here, but on the back end of the system here, as the snow showers still hang on here for a time here through midday, and then just a cloudy day continues after that. About 35 for the high. North wind at about 10 to 20 miles per hour. Still tracking down about 20 for that low tonight, and then cloudy on Saturday. Next low pressure system bringing some more light snow our way Saturday night, so mostly cloudy tomorrow through the day, 33. Snow back into the picture here Saturday night, 26, and then light snow into Sunday. So far, best estimate somewhere maybe 3 to as much as 5 or 6 inches for snowfall Saturday night into Sunday. Some of that continuing as well, mid-30s Sunday. And then 20 on Sunday night, some snow showers, lingering clouds, maybe a snow shower into Monday, 30. And then a pretty chilly night, Monday night, 7 above, partly cloudy, partly sunny for Tuesday, 33. And then 20 on Tuesday night, around 40 on Wednesday. We do get into a chance for a little light rain or mixed precip moving in Wednesday night into Thursday, a few rain showers with highs about 42 on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
You know, it really shouldn't. It shouldn't rain when there's snow on the ground.
No. There should be something in the.
Just be some rule.
Doesn't allow it. Yes, yeah. Just it can't happen.
I totally agree, yeah.
Paul. Thank you for making my co-host very happy.
I'm a snow lover, yeah, so I'm. I am definitely the minority always, but it's beautiful.
I'm with you on that. I like the snow too. You know, it's going to be cold, and you know, just cover up all the dead stuff for all winter long.
Yeah. It's so pretty.
And we know how this is, especially in this part of the Midwest. We always get that one big snowfall in March or April. It looks like this is it. Or hopefully this is it. Maybe
wow,
this is
it. Wow, you're overly optimistic. I think it's still coming.
As I'm saying it out loud, I'm realizing how, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah. Maybe early May, then I'll probably be on your side.
Yeah. Right. I'll probably switch then, too. But otherwise, I'm all for it.
Appreciate you, Paul. Thank you for the time. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks, you too.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather
Center. So if it's going to snow overnight Saturday, does it snow one less hour then?
Oh, yes, it's a great, we should have asked him that. Oh, that's a great question. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. I know that the it's going to be, you know, like this for the next couple of days here and everything. So be careful out there. And if you have things that you can that you don't have to do this weekend, maybe a nice weekend to kind of stay inside and catch up on some things.
And hats off to all of our plow teams out there.
Yes, a big, gigantic thank you to them. Appreciate all of them. Great work.
And they've been busy this winter.
Yes,
so
they've been working hard.
It's good. Very much appreciated.
I've noticed, I haven't noticed any real hang-ups with that either. It seems like they've been doing a really good job. Appreciate that work. Terry and James here with you, and we're about to dive into some state talk here. Do you have a cute nickname for your significant other? Someone analyzed tweets from all 50 states to find the one pet name couples in each state are using more than others.
So you have to be on Twitter. So that eliminates a whole. Okay,
it does seem to, and they did. They did seem to use some other social media outlets.
Oh, fair
though.
Enough.
So,
okay.
But it does seem like if you're not on social media, though, it doesn't. They didn't include the most common ones like Babe and Honey. Still, a lot of the ones on the list are pretty common until you get to the end. So let's go ahead and start at number one, where Cutie. Cutie. 9 states use it more than average. Cutie. And those states are Arizona, Kentucky, Minnesota, Missouri, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Utah, Washington, and Wisconsin.
Oh.
Wisconsin uses cutie the most.
That's part of my lingo, cutie. Not really.
I mean, cute I use.
Like with, or I think I use it maybe more with kids.
Yeah, cutie,
you know,
is
I mean?
Much
like
more
they're not
for
a
kids.
Baby, but they're not a, I don't know, like my little great nephew. I'm always like, oh, he's such a cutie.
Cute for an adult, cutie for kids. Yeah, that's the difference.
And for, little oranges.
Yes. Yeah. Right on. Yes.
I don't know if they're nectarines or what they are.
Yeah,
cuties.
I'm not sure either, but they are. Yeah, they're good. Next on the list, Shorty. A lot of people call their significant other shorty, including people in Connecticut, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, and Virginia. Yep, I've even used that one. I was a kid when I did. That was a popular one when I was young, but I haven't used that in a long time. Although, I don't know if I've only really dated like one or two taller girls, like women around my height or similar to my height, at least.
But you know, I guess, are these terms of endearment, kind of? You know what I mean? When shorty started being used in a lot of like pop songs and rap songs and stuff, it even took me a little, like, I'm like, why are they calling everyone that? You know what I mean? Like you don't realize that's what it is.
It's not as clear as cutie, that's for sure. Yeah. Baby daddy. The five states that use it the most are Georgia, Michigan, Tennessee, Texas, and West Virginia.
So that's a...
I never thought of that as a good term necessarily.
I was just gonna say, is that a good thing to be called?
I'm not sure.
I mean, not that it's bad, but anytime I've ever heard it, and honestly, no one that I really connect with uses that.
No, I've never heard.
Yeah. But when I've heard it, I've always heard it with a negative tone or connotation. So
I don't think I've heard many times somebody say that's the baby daddy or that's
or
baby daddy.
Like you walk in the house and say, hey, baby daddy. Yeah. Like, oh, my baby daddy did this. You know, like
that's how it usually is. It's not a term of endearment, that's for sure. Bay, B-A-E, bay. Five states use bay, Florida, Indiana, Louisiana, New Hampshire, and South Carolina.
Yeah, and I think that was a thing with kids a while, like teenagers, and I don't even know that it is anymore.
I think that was definitely after us.
I'm talking just in the last year.
Boo, B-O-O. I'm calling their significant other boo. I've always liked that one. I don't know why. I just like that one. Four states, Alaska, Idaho, North Dakota, and Oklahoma use that one. I've not used it much myself, but I've been called it a lot. That's a good one, though. I don't mind that one. It doesn't really, like, I love the idea, though, of somebody listening to this and they've never heard any of these.
So
wait, people are calling themselves what ghosts make as a term of endearment?
Like, that one's, like, never resonated with me. But I also have never used it, never been called, you know, and I've never really heard people, maybe on TV or, you know, social media, that kind of thing. But otherwise.
Sweetie. Sweetie is still being used. Four states are making that one still very popular. Hawaii, Maine, Mississippi, and New Mexico.
I think so far out of all of them, that's probably my favorite one.
Mm. It's a good one. It's a good fallback. It's a great one. I do tend to think of that one, though, because like my grandmothers or my aunts would call you that and stuff. And so that I kind of have an association with it.
So you're not thinking about it for a significant other.
No. But if somebody called me and I would respond, I would, hey...
You'd probably respond to anything you're called right now.
Oh, absolutely. Hubby. Four states use hubby. Delaware, Iowa, Nebraska, and Vermont. That one of the lazier nicknames, but it works.
But don't you think that... I remember hearing like my parents' friends using that. Like, yes. Don't you think that that's more... I don't necessarily hear young people using that.
No,
but I think that it is... I mean, I feel like it was fairly well used.
Yeah, definitely. Wifey is next. Three states had that as the most popular one, California, Colorado, and Rhode Island. I find it surprising that's the most popular one in California. That's where a lot of these terms kind of start.
Shorty.
Yeah, something like that, but that's a big one as well.
I don't, you know, honestly, I guess I wouldn't care, but I can't say I'd want to be called that.
No, it doesn't feel like one of the better ones. It feels lazy. It feels lazy as hubby.
To me, it feels different than hubby. To me, when I say hubby, it just comes out kind of warm.
Hubby comes out sweet.
And wifey sounds like...
Sounds a little...
Like a little...
A little like baby daddy.
Like a little sarcastic, kind of.
Yes,
I don't know.
Like I don't. Yeah.
That's just how it sounds to me.
I feel like this is like... not only did they do the get the data from an algorithm, but an algorithm wrote the article.
Right.
Like,
So like if one of your friends said, oh, I have to talk to my hubby about that...
Yeah, you know, that's fine.
Okay, all good.
Yeah.
But if somebody says, oh, I got to check with the wifey on that.
Yeah, I know. That's different. Very different. You're absolutely
just,
right.
To me, they just sound like totally different.
Baby girl is most popular in Arkansas and Kansas. Again, that's something I could see calling my daughters or something. I don't feel like you call a significant. I don't like. So number 10 on the list is sugar daddy. People in New York and Montana. Like, even if I was a sugar daddy, I would not want to be called that. I don't want anybody who is not my daughter calling me daddy. I never, under any circumstance. Not a quicker way in the world to end our conversation than that.
So daddy, yes, I get that, the daddy part. But but let's say like when you were married, you know, if your wife at the time would have said to one of your kids, you know, like, talk to dad or give that to dad. Yeah, like for her to refer to you as dad.
That's fine.
Because I'll even do that. You know, now I'll be like, Randy will walk in. I'm like, hey, dad. You know, because the girls are there.
No problem with
that.
But
the daddy thing?
Daddy. It's just those two added word letters.
Yeah, it's
just
cringy. Why? But it is.
It is very cringy. It is very cringy. I'm so with you on this. It's just two extra letters, but it makes a difference.
It's so like... Hugh Hefner-y, isn't it?
Yes. And I'm sorry. And I got in trouble in the South for this one, and I don't care. Any grown man, if you're over the age of 8, you shouldn't be calling, that's my daddy. No, it's your dad. It's your dad. You can say father, you can say dad, not my daddy. No. Are you 13? Come on.
But that is... You know, now I'm thinking about this, and I really don't watch a ton of TV, but the series that I'm watching right now, like, it does take place more in the, like, Southwest, kind of, and it is grown children, you know, it's grown children, they visiting their father, and she's, like, in her 30s, and she's, like, you know, referring to him as daddy, but it just sounds like...
It sounds so weird.
But it sounds like it's just how they
places.
Speak, you know? Yeah. But yeah, in general, I agree.
When it's part of the lingo, when it's part of the, you know, culture and everything,
but
that's
just
a different
in general.
Thing. But yes, in general, no.
Sugar daddy.
Stop.
Isn't that funny?
It's wrong. It's messed up.
I wonder if they're pulling this off of social media, like, every time they see sugar daddy pop up, they probably shouldn't be counting it, because I'm guessing it's not meant in a...
I feel very confident in saying that the term sugar daddy has never been used affectionately, and even if it has, it's not. There's no actual feeling in that. That's just mechanical or material.
And it's probably just hopefully just being verbalized and no one else is having to hear it, you know?
And finally, the most unique nicknames that only had one state each. Nevada likes the word hunk.
Funny. Is that an 80s thing or what?
Women in Wyoming are saying, my boy. Nope. Calling your husband or wife dearest is big in South Dakota. Dearest isn't bad. I don't mind that one. It does feel a little bit of an older term, but...
Or dear.
Yeah. I like dear. I do like dear. Yep. I think that's sweet. I don't know why, but there's something very sweet to me about that.
Yeah, I don't
that
mind
one.
That either.
And Alabama likes the term sweet cakes. I feel like even if I called my if I was married and I had a wife of 10, 20 years and I called her sweet cakes, she would knock me out.
But
I feel
you know
like,
what? Sweet cakes, sweet cheeks, sweet, you know, like that. I don't care. To me, those are just like fun and playful.
Yeah.
Like they're not demeaning. And I don't know when I hear them, but I don't know.
I think we hit on this earlier, whether it was intentional or not, of tone and context really goes a long way with a lot of this.
And maybe you think about it this way. Let's say you're at a gas station and your significant other's pumping the gas and you're just walking in and they decide they want something and they yell to you using this endearment. Yes. Would you want people to hear it? Hey, sweet cheeks, bring me a Coke.
That's great. That's a great way to look
at it. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
If they said, hey, dear, bring me a Coke. Okay, fine. But
that's one thing. But hey, sweet cakes. Yeah. Yeah. Especially, I love the idea of like a woman shouting this for her husband. Hey, sweet cakes. Hey, where are you? I like that.
It's probably more beefcake, right?
Yeah. Where you at, beefcake? We will take a break. We'll come back with some...
Then you don't turn around.
No.
You just keep walking.
I would just... That's exactly what I keep doing. I'm going to embarrass that woman. Is she going to try to embarrass me? I'm going to flip it right around. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some fun with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Don't forget, after Melissa's news, we're going to make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. All that coming up for you on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear AOL buddy, happy birthday to you.
Hey, thank you, Zoe Deschanel.
She likes to visit when I'm here a lot.
She does. Mm-hmm. It's very nice of her.
It is nice.
Safe getting back wherever you're going, Zoe. She leaves right away, too. It's weird.
Poof.
Our friends over at Misty's Menu, I believe, are open today. I don't know what the weather for certain or anything, but I'm pretty certain that they are. They usually are pretty good about that. We encourage you to join Misty's when they are open. They're open 6 to 2 and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Do want you to keep in mind that Wednesdays and Thursdays, the first 3 weeks of March, Misty's is going to be closed. They will resume normal hours beginning the week of March 20th. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good for them. Take a break.
Yes, a very well-deserved, very earned break for our friends at Misty's Menu. Let's go ahead and dive right into the birthdays, our local celebrities here. And for this first one, we only have one per... Actually, yeah, let me see here. Okay, just the one for that one. So, Terry, I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right. And I need a one or a three.
One.
All right. There we go. That gives us our qualifiers. So we can go ahead and right into celebrating. First up, I want to wish a happy birthday to Joan McPeters.
Happy birthday, Joan.
Oh, have a great day, Joan. Hope it's a good birthday for you. And we also want to wish a very happy birthday to Pam's sister-in-law, Cindy Lewick.
Happy birthday, Cindy.
Cindy lives in Stockton. We wish her a very happy birthday over there in Stockton. And enjoy yourself. And thank you, Pam, for getting us that.
You might almost like saying that as much as Sheboygan.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fun one. Stockton. It's a fun word. It's a fun word. I love it. Wisconsin's got so many great city names. I love it.
When you said it the second time, I'm like, oh, he likes it.
Yeah, yes,
one.
I do. Yeah. looking on to Saturday, a very happy birthday to Brittany Kuhn.
Happy birthday, Brittany.
Enjoy your day, Brittany. We hope it's a great one for you. And our qualifier on Saturday, Marge Went.
Happy birthday, Marge.
We hope it's a great one for you, Marge. Enjoy your day. You're our qualifier for Saturday. Moving on to Sunday, wishing a happy birthday to an old partner of mine's wife. When I was at my old classic rock days, worked with Casey. Many people remember Casey's voice on the airwaves out here and his wonderful wife, Misty. We wish Misty a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Misty.
I believe they are in Florida now.
I hope you're getting spoiled.
Yeah, yeah. Misty's great. One of those couples where it's just like these two are like meant for each other. They're so good together. And Misty's awesome. Casey, great, great guy. One of the better people I've worked with in this business. Misty, same type of person.
Awesome.
Another good friend of mine's wife celebrating a birthday today, Jessica Lang Giles. Jessica, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Jessica, I'm known for just as long as I've known Vince, and Vince is one of my best friends in the world, and Jessica is right next to him, like just an incredible human being. Got a wonderful daughter. Jess has got a great creativity to her, too, when it comes to different things that she gets into. Happy birthday, Jessica. Also, great name, right? Jessica Lang. Like, that's a great name. That's a great name. And a happy birthday to our qualifier on Sunday, Ann Culbert.
Happy birthday, Ann.
Enjoy your day, Ann. We hope it is a great one for you. And thank you to everybody that got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody. We want to continue to celebrate with you. Send it to info@WFHR.com. You can email me, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us, or go ahead and direct message us on Facebook, just like our page. Type into your search bar, WFHR, and like our page, and direct message us there. Let's take a look at our celebrity list real quick. Emily Osment is 31. She was Miley Cyrus's best friend Lily on Hannah Montana.
I actually knew that one.
Oh, right.
Just because my kids were of the Hannah Montana age. So
she was also the younger sister on The Sixth Sense to the superstar Haley Joel Osment.
Oh, I hate that movie.
That movie rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Olivia Wilde is 39. She was 13 on House. I believe she's gotten more into directing recently and everything. The great, the wonderful, the incredibly talented, the legend, Carrie Underwood is 40 today. Happy birthday, Carrie.
I was wondering when that one was going to come up.
Yeah. Oh, 40 years old for Carrie Underwood. It's crazy.
She looks like she's what, 30?
Oh my God,
28.
Yeah. She's just as remarkable as her voice is still just as beautiful and strong as when we first heard her.
Absolutely.
She is one of the hardest working people in show business and does not seem to get any credit for it because she's got a pretty face. Or maybe it's partially that. Maybe it's partially because she's a woman and maybe partially because she's in country music. But she's somebody who's dedicated, like worked very hard, as poppy as she has. Her career has gone. That hasn't been by design. She has tried to stay very true to her roots and to country music. This is somebody who is a very dedicated mother and wife, but also puts so much into her craft and getting better at songwriting. She's taken songwriting classes after having multiple hit songs. I admire people that continue to try to grow and get better at what they do, even when they are being told by the world, "Hey, you're amazing. You're one of the best in the world to do this." She's not not listening to that. Yeah. She's still trying to get better.
She is really cool.
That's a heck of a human being. I talk loosely about her in a fun kind of radio way of like, she's cute and I have a crush on her. What it is, I have an utmost respect for her. I truly have a crush on her, too.
There's
nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do have a lot of respect for the person, too. Danny Pudi is 44 today, Chicago's own. He is Abed on Community. He's on Mythic Quest as well. He's a great actor, great character actor. I really enjoy his work. I can't believe he's 44, though. He's another one. He does not look 44. It looks
sneaky.
Very young. Yes.
Yeah.
Timbaland is 51. A rapper, producer, got his stage name from wearing Timberlands. But basically, if you liked anything in the 90s, like or hip-hop-wise, chances are Timberland had the beats that was doing it. Anything from Aaliyah, Outkast he worked with a lot, just a ton of artists. I'm forgetting so many. Basically anybody from the Southern musicians that you enjoyed, Timberland probably did the beats for. The great John Hamm is 52 today. Most people know him as Don Draper from Mad Men. He is in a lot of HR commercials now and everything too, though. But great actor. I wouldn't say a sneaky good actor because I think most people understand how good he is. But he's another one that just seems to be getting better. Pageant Brewster is 54. Emily Prentice on Criminal Minds. She was also on Community for a while. A great actor. Pageant Brewster is one of those more versatile actors. She can do comedy. She can do drama. She's very good at doing the whole wide gamut. She's also been getting a ton of credit recently, and it's kind of she will tell you herself it's kind of silly, but she's letting her hair go gray. And she's had this like kind of midnight black hair for a long time.
Yeah, and she always had like the blunt cut bangs.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was the right one.
It didn't really, to me, it didn't really seem like that. It was cool, but it didn't seem like that big of a deal. But she's getting really championed for it. And then she's got some people like giving her a hard time for it. And it's like, it's not your hair. Like, yeah. Well, what the what, man? Like, yeah. She's still getting acting gigs. She's still getting cast and everything, as she should. She's talented. But the idea of getting bent out of shape about what another person is doing with their hair, like, I can't think of many more things to be more ridiculous things in this day and age. She's very talented. Edie Burkell is 57. What I am is what I am.
Yeah. Did she have just that one album? Maybe.
I'm not afraid of too many things.
I know more songs off of that album, but I'm just saying, like, that's it, right?
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
kind of one-hit wonder-ish.
I want to say, yeah. I'm not 100% on this. I thought she was married to Paul Simon.
I don't know, but I always like that name.
Yeah.
Edie Burkell.
It's a great name. Yeah. Edie Burkell and the New Bohemians. That's a good band name. Yeah. Nina Cherry is 59, another great singer, songwriter from the 90s. Buffalo Stance and a couple of other good ones. Nina Cherry is very talented. Great voice. Another talented artist from the 90s, Jeff Ament is 60, Pearl Jam bassist, the only bassist Pearl Jam's ever had, and a great bass player. Very good. Jasmine Guy is 61. Big name from the 90s. This is a 90s day for us, Terry. This is our day. Jasmine Guy, famous for playing Whitley on A Different World and The Cosby Show.
Yep.
She was very good on that. It was not an easy character to play, not a very well-likable character, and she just knocked it out. She was very good at it. Mitch Gaylord is 62, 1984 Olympic gold medalist who has two gymnastics techniques named after him, the Gaylord 2 and the Gaylord Flip. If you see somebody pull off the Gaylord Flip, get ready to pull up a 10 because that's usually what that means in gymnastics.
Very cool.
It's I bet nowadays you can go back and Google him and look at a bunch of his moves.
Like
and
for
stuff.
You to invent a move, you know what I mean? Yeah. I can see how it would just happen, but it's just kind of to have it named after you and then people.
Easily one of the coolest things that can happen in life is having something named after you.
That is pretty cool.
That is something. Sharon Stone is 65. Great actor. Sharon Stone, very solid actor. Let's see here. Tom Scholz is 76, lead guitarist, keyboardist, and songwriter for Boston.
Oh.
He also has a master's degree from MIT.
That's pretty cool.
That's very cool and very impressive. So Tom has a great brain. So then maybe Tom could tell me what's more than a feeling? Because if you feel it, it is a feeling. So how can it be more than a feeling, Boston? I'm so I can't
it's
handle
just
it.
A Friday night dedication. Kind
just
of song.
No, no. I've been playing that song so many times, maybe more than any other song that has driven me crazy. My old classic rock.
You know,
days.
It's a 200%.
It's
you know right.
Yeah, yeah. Chuck Norris is 83. Chuck Norris, one of those guys who, like pop culture-wise, even if you never saw a Chuck Norris movie or if you didn't know who he is, you probably know Chuck Norris.
But you know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say Chuck Norris is you know, not only playing Walker, Texas Ranger and everything, but famously trained by Bruce Lee. And one of those things that I think helped bring martial arts into the fold, into the world, and especially for a lot of people that, well, I don't look like Bruce Lee, but I look like Chuck Norris, yeah, and I feel a little more comfortable with it. And that was the whole intent of what Bruce was trying to do. We don't realize this in our generations and everything, but back in Bruce Lee's time, you did not teach martial arts to white people. Like, or black people, or anybody who was not Asian. Like, and even then, it got even more. Like, you couldn't teach this martial art to a Japanese person, or you couldn't teach this to a Laotian person. Like, it was very, very like selective, and they would hold these things as tradition and very dire to them. Bruce Lee saw this and just didn't seem right. It's like, well, everybody should be able to use these techniques and these moves.
Sure.
Because for him, martial arts was not just about being able to do something really cool in an action movie. It was being able to defend yourself. It was that I don't need a knife. I don't need a gun. I don't need any of these things. I can defend my family with my fists. I can do this with my hands and my feet. And the art of being able to meditate through martial arts, being able to find your center, find your zen, a lot of these things. Why should just Asian people be able to do it is what Bruce Lee felt. So he taught it to everybody. And one of the early teachers or early students was Chuck Norris. And I think that that's what, I think that for me, that's the one thing I can give him credit for. I can look at him and say, well, that's pretty cool that he was a part of that.
Yeah, that is cool.
And 83. Like, I didn't realize he's 83 already, but interesting.
No, because he's just suspended in time, like a lot of people. But like, right, and he always had the same haircut. You know, and he always, you know, like, I just picture him, I don't know, what, 60?
Yeah, yeah. I felt that way when he was with us, like Patrick Swayze. I felt like Patrick Swayze never aged the whole time, even though I watched his whole career and I saw, you know, him aging. He just never seemed to age. And he didn't really have a chance to age either, though, so that's not a great
example. For teenage girls, he never aged either.
No, no, no. Still hasn't, I imagine. One more time, we want to wish everybody celebrating a birthday or anniversary today and all weekend long. Enjoy your birthday. Have a great one. We encourage you to have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself, whether it's a birthday or anniversary. And get us more of these. We want more birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We encourage you to celebrate with our friends over at Misty's Menu when they open their doors. Because if you are having a birthday, let them know over at Misty's. Get a free slice of one of Brian's pies.
And it's Friday Fish Fry.
Yes. So if they are open, head on over there.
Take advantage.
Yes. Six to two, 7 days a week at 9041 today with 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. We're going to take a listen to Melissa's news. We're going to come back with our star of the day from Culver's on the morning show at WFHR. Lights, camera, action. It is time to make somebody a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. What Terry and I are about to do is play a famous TV theme song. If you know it, call up at 424-2600. If you haven't won anything in 30 days, let us know the answer. You get it right, and boom, just like that, you'll win two concrete mixers, two value baskets from our fantastic friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Culver's. We say a good morning to them. Hope their things are going well over at Culver's. We encourage you to get some Culver's in your life this weekend. What's that?
I think I'm going to have some Culver's in my life today.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good idea. It's a very good idea.
I like their fish.
Good stuff. Let's go ahead and play this, Terry. Get ready to call 424-2600. Tell us what TV show this is from.
Yes, no, maybe. I don't know. Can you repeat the question? You're not the boss of me now.
Let's see if we have ourselves a winner. Good morning. What's your answer?
Would that be Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah.
Hey, nice job.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Well done, sir. Yes, Bryan Cranston's birthday was this week on March, March 7th. Yeah, Bryan Cranston turned 67 years young. Thought it'd be fitting to have Malcolm in the Middle theme song. And I was hoping one of our great listeners would get it. Nicely done. What? Give us your first name.
This is Timothy.
Timothy, thank you so much for playing along. Timothy, what town are you calling us from?
From the greater Rapids area.
Hey, all right. We got ourselves a Rapids winner. So you knew that one right away, Timothy. You called up pretty quick.
Yeah, you got to be fast on the speed dial if you want to win the big prize.
You're so right. You're so right, man. Thank you so much for that.
I had no clue what it was.
Oh, okay. See, I wasn't sure.
I didn't think.
I thought this would be a little tougher, though. Not for Timothy.
No, he's right on it.
He is our star of the day. Thank you so much for playing along, sir. Hang on the line. I'm going to get a little information from you, okay?
Will do.
Thank you. You're our star of the day. That was fun. That was good. Yeah, that was, and that theme song is from They Might Be Giants, which is our partner in radio around here, Seth. That's his favorite band.
Okay, cool. You know, once it actually got to the chorus, then I'm like, okay, I know that song, or I know of that song, but no clue what show it was from.
Yeah.
And I was trying not to look at the screen. I was just looking down to see if I, you know, just to see if I knew it. Yeah, no.
I noticed you've done that before, too. I like that you play along, though.
Yeah,
I think that's fun.
But I lose every time.
We will go ahead and take a break. We'll go ahead and take a break, talk with Timothy. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun. We'll take you to the top of the hour with nothing but fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Getting ready for the weekend around here. We're not going to let Mother Nature slow us down. We're going to have fun.
Bad start to the day with this.
Yeah. This beat never tires. Never. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Best listeners in radio joining the greatest morning show in the universe. We hope you're having a good one out there.
Like, how many people are dancing in their driver's seat right now? You know,
you can't help it. You got to bop to this.
It's awesome.
Such a good song. This is an interesting one, Terry. I'm kind of curious how people feel about this one. And you can go ahead and decide at home with the morning show play at home version we got all of you. If this is a That Ain't Right story or not. Because I think it is. It could be. We'll find out. There are a lot of stories about how airlines drop the ball with luggage, damaging bags, sending them to the wrong place, or outright losing them. But it sounds like Delta has your back 13 times over. A woman on TikTok named Peyton says she flew Delta recently and they destroyed her suitcase. She filed a claim and they agreed to replace it. Later, she got a notification that she had some packages. Turns out, they didn't just send her a bag. They sent her 13 new Ricardo Beverly Hills suitcases.
So, I mean, I get that, but, like, if you needed one replacement bag, like, if someone gave me 13 suitcases right now, I'd be like, where in the heck am I going to put
these? Exactly. That's the first thing that popped in my brain.
Unfortunately, I don't know that my first thought would be appreciation.
Yeah, which I feel a little bad about, but I'm being honest, yes, yeah. I agree with you. She didn't even have room to keep them all in her house.
Oh, yeah, okay, there we go.
So she called to tell them that there had been a mistake. Delta told her that it was an oversight by the luggage company they work with. And when Peyton contacted the company, they said that they'd collect the bags from her, but they'd let her keep one extra since she was honest about it.
Well, so that's super cool, right? Then you have a nice set of luggage. That's a nice story. I think that's a good story.
It is a very good story, and that luggage is pretty cool looking.
Oh, that's pretty. And you'll find, like, right, you're not going to miss it when it comes.
Yeah.
So I have a luggage story. One time I traveled to a Women United conference, actually, when we were just trying to figure out to start ours. And I went to Orange Beach, California. So anybody who knows Orange Beach, you know, it's pretty trendy.
Yes,
pretty
very.
Pretty upper class.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I fly into John Wayne International Airport. I don't know what it's called now. I know they changed the name. But so the luggage carousel, like it comes up a ramp from underneath and then it drops down onto the carousel.
Mm.
Okay, kind of the opposite of, So anyway, I can see it's coming and then it drops, but it doesn't let go. So the person who's working the carousels just comes and, you know, grabs it and gives it a nudge. Well, when they did that, the zipper had been stuck. So it broke the zipper. Well, okay. So here I am in Orange Beach.
Yeah.
Where am I going to buy a replacement suitcase that I can afford?
Right. Yes.
So I have like 3 days before I have to come home. And so I'm in like this department store there. And I'm like, listen, I need the cheapest bag you have that's going to fit like this much stuff. So here I am with a big rolling duffel because that was
that was it.
That was the only thing under $100.
Yeah.
Yeah. except that I didn't really blend well in the in the lobby of the of the hotel, you know, I'm just like, imagine. Oh my god, it was so bad. But
that's rough.
Dang, it was, you know, stuck, and it was on the airline, but.
Now, then, would you have told them if they had sent you the 13 bags?
Because But you know, the sad thing is nowadays, what do you think a lot of people would do with the extra 12 bags?
eBay,
yeah,
something like that.
Marketplace, mm-hmm. You know, they'd be selling them. So that's unfortunate, but that's a cool story. I also think people get on the airline so much about luggage, but think about how many bags they handle in a day.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you never want your stuff to be lost. Mm-hmm. I had a friend that went to Mexico for spring break one year, and her bag never made it.
Oh.
So you're going from this kind of weather to there, and you have nothing.
That's tough.
You know? So, like, that way. But I think percentage, like, margin of error, right. I don't think it's really that bad. It's just when it happens to us, you know, then, of course, it's upsetting.
Yeah. But I wish more people did this.
We're traveling wedding later this year on, you know, flying. And we've already talked about that all of the wedding clothes have to be in the carry-on.
Yes.
Because, you know, that would stink.
Not losing those. Yeah, definitely can't afford to lose those. No. Here's an interesting one. When you go to a restaurant, are you more interested in trying several different things, or do you want your own meal and for everyone else to keep their paws away from it?
Depends whose paws they are.
Yeah. And what kind of food we're eating. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a new poll, 58% of people say that they sometimes order different dishes than their friends or significant other so that they can share. 35% say that they never do that. When broken down into demographics, it sounds like it's something that's more popular among younger adults. Living on the coasts, boomers in the Midwest are the least likely to share their food.
So I think it depends, like if it's entrees, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So like if we go and we each order an entree, then we're not necessarily sharing. But I love the idea of, let's say there's six of us and we order like eight appetizers and I'm a grazer. So I'm fine with, you know, with sharing all that. Yeah. Or isn't that kind of the idea of tapas? You know what I mean? Like when you go to, when you order that, there's a little bit of everything. So I don't know. I'm not opposed to it. But everybody knows that one person who no matter what. It's going to be like, oh, can I try that?
Yep.
Can I try that?
It never fails. Never fails.
And I don't care. I always let them try it. But at the same time, I'm just like, seriously? If you wanted that, why didn't you order that?
just order it. Just next time, just order it.
Or like if you get five shrimp.
Yes.
Can I have one of those?
Yes.
No.
No. I got five of these. I got to make these last.
Like, are you kidding?
Of course, this isn't every meal. Some stuff like pasta dishes, soup, salads are awkward to split. It's easy to cut and divvy up pizza, sandwiches, and desserts.
Yeah.
The poll also asked if you ever ordered the same thing as a friend or a partner because you can't decide what to eat. 40% say they have, and 52% say they have not.
But, you know, there's that whole kind of risk, and I'm using this lightly, but that, like, if there's something on a menu that you've always wanted to try,
yeah,
but you really don't know if you're going to like it, you don't want to order that as your meal. And if the person sitting next to me is ordering it because they like it, you know, then I'm like, I think I've done it like ahead of time. You know, like they'll order something, I'll be like, when it comes out, could I try a little bit? Because I've always wanted to try it. You know what I mean?
Different.
Not when it's sitting there and you're like drooling. Like,
yes, yeah. That doesn't work. It's not the same. I would like to take this moment, though, to apologize to every girl I have ever dated because I am such a bad, weird eater that they would never want anything on my plate. And they've never been able to share or eat off my plate. Yeah, I've never been fun to eat around or anything. I never even realized that. I didn't even think about that as a thing until like the last, I don't know, four months or so. I've been thinking more about me and food and all that.
Yeah. I think too, this whole sharing food, it just depends who you're with.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like if it's the four of us, like literally our immediate family, it doesn't matter. You can try whatever you want off of whoever's plate. I mean, it doesn't matter. But, and we've always had where like Randy is the cleanup, right? So if one of the girls can't finish something, you know, the dad is always the cleanup.
Right,
so then they get to try everything.
There you go. Yeah. We got some entertainment news around the corner to kind of lead us into this. I thought this would be a fun one. I bet this doesn't happen at your job. CMT has their Hot 20 countdown, and they asked a bunch of country stars to name the weirdest things fans have thrown at them on stage. We're going to give you the ones that we can talk about.
Can you imagine just having to, we can talk about all of them. We just need to rename them.
Yes, exactly.
But the whole like having to be entertaining, but then watching for things being catapulted at you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that it's like I haven't done a ton of that work. I've been on stage way over hundreds of times and everything. But I'm always playing a character. I've only been on stage once or twice as myself, and it is weird. And I was doing this like at a stand up comedy at like 1 a.m. where it's like 10, 20 people out there or whatever, and half of them aren't even paying attention to me. I couldn't imagine what it's like to be a star and have all of those eyes and looking back at them.
And different music concerts that I've been to, you know what I mean? Like rock concerts, you see the occasional bra get throw up there. It's just for whatever reason they think that people want their bra.
I don't know.
But you know, there's that, but then, or flowers or something, but then you see like a beer can getting chucked up there, yeah, and it's full. It's like, yeah, you're like, I buy you a beer. Yeah, well, yeah. First of all, I can't drink it now because it's shaken, and second, you're gonna hurt somebody.
You're gonna pelt
somebody, it's crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of undergarments, Walker Hayes, that was the thing for him, underwear. Kane Brown had somebody throw a bra at him, but he caught it, and so the audience went nuts.
Oh, I'm sure.
So that was it. Ashley McBride also bras, and she says it's happening a lot more since her song, Brenda Put Your Bra On.
I was going to say, she had a song about bras, though. Okay. So, I mean, I can kind of see that.
At first, I'm like, well, wait a minute, throwing him at a woman, that seems weird. But song, that makes sense. Actually, that's kind of a fun thing, I would think.
So my thing about that, and like I said, I don't really care what people throw up there, but bras are expensive. Like, I mean, I hope you're bringing an old one and throwing it up there, because they are pricey.
Is what the little bit I do know of them is that.
You know,
so that's like, what that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Yeah, maybe an old one.
Yeah, just bring an extra one in your pocket. I don't know.
Jordan Davis said someone's boot, and he did a shoey. That's where you pour a beer
drink
in it
a
and
beer
then chug it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then does the boot go back? That's what I want to know.
Huh. If I'm a fan, I would want the boot back.
Well, I'd want the boot back.
A period.
Regardless,
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
You know, walk around one booted.
Hardy had a prosthetic leg, and he did a shoey out of that. He called it a leggy. Somebody threw a prosthetic leg up there.
But don't you need that?
You need that.
Like, I mean, you're making a risk, right? Like, you might get it. I mean, hopefully you get it back, but you might not get whatever you threw up there back.
Right. I'm not taking that chance. I don't care who it is. I don't care who's on that stage. I'm not throwing a prosthetic leg up there.
You tell your insurance the next day.
I want to know.
I lost it.
Yeah, yeah. How do you explain that? I got really carried away at a Hardy concert. So I threw my prosthetic leg up there. Going back to the undergarments thing, I'm going to say the silliest question there is, but I am not the only one thinking it. Because I've been at 100 concerts, and I've never seen this actually happening. I've seen people throw it, but I've never seen, like, do they bring the extra garment with them, or do they take it off in the stands? And if you're taking it off in the stands, I can't think of many more things that are more obviously awkward and uncomfortable and everything and invasive, but also difficult to do. Like, I've seen women take their bras off, and it's not always easy.
Well, I think
in a group of people,
maybe. Like, well, I don't know. I think we get good at it.
Oh, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, though, that Terry, yeah, you're right. Like, sometimes it's so smooth that I don't even know they did
like
it.
Like, you just bring an arm out and you know. No, so I don't
think the underwear thing is almost impossible. Like, that's got to be bringing extra ones
that
with
has
you
to
and
be
stuff.
Extra.
You can't, excuse me, everyone, could somebody hold me up while I take my jeans off?
Yeah, because, like, you have to.
What are we doing here? What are we doing? So watch the show. Keep your pants on and watch the show.
Nope. Or like, you get this visual, right? Like, whatever you is a appealing body to you, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, everyone's watching the concert, and this person's literally taking their pants off, taking their underwear off, and not a person is paying attention. You know what I mean? Like, put it back on, and nobody's like, here for the music.
I like the idea, same scenario, but they're doing it and they're folding their things and they're setting them down. I'm just going to put my shirt right here, my pants right here. Excuse me, everybody.
But, like, nobody notices at all because everybody's focused on the concert.
Big fan of the artist. Don't mind me. Kelsey Bellinari, younger
Bellarini.
Fan. Bellarini, thank you. Younger fans have tossed their phones up there to get a
selfie, right?
Yeah, to get her to take photos on their Be Real app. That's where both cameras take a shot of what you're doing and at the exact moment. That's kind of cool. And the fact that she's throwing them back or whatever. I don't know how you do that, though. I don't know how you pick out of 100 people whose phone it is.
You know, so we've gone to Hodag forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those artists, like, I've seen a lot of people hand their phone up to them, right? They'll take the picture, hand it right back down because you can get right close to the stage. So that might be different. But there's no way I'm throwing my phone up there. And if I found out one of my kids did that, dead meat.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, and if you think that's bad, Granger Smith?
Granger.
Granger Smith. A baby. They didn't really throw it, but the way they held it up made it seem like the kid might fall. So by the time Granger got it, he held the... Is it a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a... He held the baby the whole time he sang the song.
Okay, but...
Why are you bringing a baby to a concert? Stupid. Why are people doing this with their children?
Can you imagine how loud that is on that stage?
There's no way it's not going to affect their ears. Like, it's not going to affect their eardrums are still growing at that time. Like, That ain't right. No, that ain't right. That ain't cool. Did want to touch on this really quick, and thank you to the League of Women Voters of the Wisconsin Rapids area. We, of course, have an election coming up on April 4th. The general election is around the corner. We have a chance for you to candidate meet and greet on March 22nd at McMillan Library at their all-purpose room. This will be from 5 to 6 for Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidates, 6 to 7 for Wisconsin Rapids City Council candidates, and 7 to 8 for Wood County Branch 4 Circuit Court candidates. Go to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media's website for a schedule of the candidate interviews.
That's interesting. Yeah. That layout of time frames. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever caught them that they've done that before. Mm. And I'm trying to think what, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to go, do you want all the candidates there at once?
Yeah.
Or does it make sense that you can just go for the, you know, for that topic area? I think that's kind of cool.
It's very interesting.
They do great work.
They really do. They really fantastic just, work.
Yeah.
Huge shout out to our friends at the League of Women Voters, and of course our great friends over at Mill Library. We'll touch more on this as we get closer to it, but again, mark your calendars for March 22nd for meet and greet with our candidates. We will take a break. We'll come back with nothing but fun on the morning show at WFHR.